Moncrief on News Talk.
So far, we've discovered thousands of planets outside our solar system, but of those, around 60 or so are thought to be potentially habitable. And now researchers at the University of Edinburgh think they've found another. It's a wee bit smaller than Earth, but in galactic terms, it's in our neighbourhood, about 40 million light years away. Larissa Palethorpe is co-lead of the study. Good afternoon, Larissa.
Hi, good afternoon.
So Gliese 12b, has it been known about for a while that it was there even?
Well, it was first identified as a possible planet in only last year, actually, April last year by NASA. So it's kind of only, we were the first to validate it. So that's very exciting.
Okay. And what's the process of validating that it is an actual planet?
So we look for things called transits. And essentially what that is kind of like an eclipse. We look for a planet orbiting a star. And if there's a dip in the amount of light we receive from the star, essentially the planet's eclipsing it. We do follow up with different telescopes, a range of telescopes, hopefully, and we can confirm that's a transit and we can confirm that's a planet.
Right. OK. But I suppose the more it's a lump of rock, but how do you glean other information about it?
Essentially, we need to do a range of follow-up, but from kind of just the transit, we can tell the radius of the planet and we can also tell the orbital period of the planet. So how often it laps its star, so the length of a year. And from those two things, because we kind of know what stars planets orbit, we can tell how hot the planet is and essentially if it has an atmosphere or whether it doesn't, and what kind of life on that planet might be like.
Right. OK. And the year is quite short on this planet.
Yeah, it's only 12.8 days.
It's whizzing around there. Now, so does that mean it's particularly close to its star?
Yeah, essentially. But the star that it orbits is a red dwarf. Essentially, it means it's a bit smaller and a bit cooler than our star. So it can be that close to the star and still kind of be in the range of what we think Earth and Venus is like.
Ah, right. So, because you know the way that like the Goldilocks zone, does then that depend on the temperature of the star, how big that Goldilocks zone is?
Yeah, you're exactly right. So depending on the temperature of the star, a Goldilocks zone can be quite close into the star or it can be quite close out. This planet is sitting kind of on the edge of the habitable zone, the Goldilocks zone, which is where we look for liquid water. That's how we define habitability. So it may be leaning towards kind of steam temperatures, but it's still an exciting find because it's so nearby to us.
Yeah. So what do you reckon is the temperature on this planet?
So we've estimated the surface temperature to be about 42 degrees Celsius, but don't yet know if it has an atmosphere. If it has no atmosphere, then it will probably be around that temperature still. But if it has a thin atmosphere, the temperature might go up a bit. So we need to do more follow up. But still, it's not like the lava worlds we see. It's kind of quite temperate.
Yeah. Now, when you say, you know, the average would be 42 degrees, does that mean there would be cooler parts of it? For instance, the part of the planet that's not facing the star?
Well, we kind of need more information right now. So we don't know whether it's tidally locked. And that basically means that the same side of the planet faces the star at all times, in which case that would be quite hot. But So if it's rotating on its axis, we need to kind of work out the ins and outs of that, in which case you kind of would get variations in temperature. But I guess you could say the average is probably about 42 degrees Celsius.
And given that it's 40 million light years away, is it possible to tell if there's water there?
Well, actually, it's only 40 light years away.
Oh, sorry. That makes all the difference.
we should be able to work that out using the James Webb Space Telescope, which was launched by NASA kind of about a year and a half ago. We can look for kind of elements and abundances of chemicals in the atmosphere of the planet. And we should be able to work out whether there is water or not in the atmosphere.
That's extraordinary. And from that, then, I mean, is it a certain extent, is it inference? You're going, if X is there, then Y will probably be there.
Yeah, it's to a certain degree. It's a lot of maths, a lot of inference. But I think we're pretty solid in our theories to a certain degree. So we either think it will have water, or we might find a process where it's actively losing water through the runaway greenhouse effect. Or it could have water. We don't really we don't really expect that, but never say never. We think it's probably more like Venus, but still, to find a planet this size, this close by, means that we can do lots of follow-up on it.
Yeah, this close by, would it be the closest, or are there planets even closer that might be habitable?
Well, what we're saying is it's our nearest transiting temperate Earth-like planet, so a size planet, sorry, which essentially means we do have planets closer, but there's only a handful of planets that are this close by that are Earth-sized, let alone this temperature. Mm. So I don't want to say yes, but I could say yes with a lot of caveats, essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'm hearing yes. Is there though, Larissa, a limit on what you can, you know, from this distance and given the current technology, what we can learn about these other planets?
I mean, the James Webb, because it's such a new telescope, is opening up a lot of doors right now. So we're still learning very new things about a lot of planets. So there are obviously limits. We're never going to be able to get there. So we're not going to be able to step foot and actually see. But we should be able to work out the planet's mass and from its density. And then we should be able to work out kind of what kind of planet it is at the very least. And whether it has an atmosphere or not will also teach us a lot, because we can compare it to our own Venus in our own solar system. Because our own Venus used to have water, but it lost all of it. But the Earth retained all its water. So it will kind of teach us about how planets can remain habitable or not, depending on how they form and things like that.
Okay, yeah, all right. But I mean, if we managed at some point in the future to construct a craft that could travel at the speed of light or close to the speed of light, it would only take 40 years to get to Gliese.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. I'm not sure whether it'll be. People say that one day we might be able to travel at 10% the speed of light. But even so, that's only about like 400 years, I think.
Yeah.
So that's right now. With our technology, it would take kind of 250,000 to 300,000 years to get there. So,
You'd have to pack a lot of sandwiches for that trip. Yeah,
you would.
Indeed. Larissa, congratulations and thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Larissa Palethorpe there from the University of Edinburgh.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.